Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to be back with you after nearly 2 weeks off for the holidays, some extended time with family members, and wonderful to be back with my Air Talk family, the terrific team that brings you the program every day right here on 89.3. I hope you had a wonderful holiday period with your friends and your family members. Maybe you got some time off too, and that's better yet. As we start the new year together, we have huge stories, of course, including, as you just heard on NPR News, the targeted killing of the top general in Iran, a man who had organized militias to go after U.S. and allied interests throughout the region, including, of course, Iraq, where he was killed yesterday in that targeted attack at Baghdad International Airport, and in Syria as well. Joining us with the very latest developments is Farnaz Fasihi, New York Times reporter covering Iran. Farnaz, thank you very much for being with us. Share with us what sorts of reactions we're hearing from around the world.
Thank you for having me, Larry. Qasem General Soleimani targeted killing and assassination has really rattled world leaders around the world because it can potentially escalate the tension between Iran and U.S. and take it from sort of this Cold War and battles and tensions through proxies into a direct confrontation. The concern from what we're hearing from even U.S. allies in Europe to Russia, China, and everywhere is that Iran might strike back. Iran's supreme leader and other Iranian officials have said that there will be a retaliation for the killing of General Soleimani, and you know, there are many American bases with American troops around the region within the range of attacks for Iran. So I think the next couple of days will be crucial to see how far this will escalate.
Well, one wonders what Iran is considering, because seeing with President Trump's order of this attack, maybe Iran is going to think hard about what it does in response, wondering if Trump is going to escalate and you end up with a full-on war with the United States. What's the thought about the risk that Iran undertakes in responding?
Iran views the assassination of its number two most powerful person in the regime as an act of war. As far as Iranians are concerned, Iranian officials are concerned, from the comments and statements that we see, they already consider Trump declaring war on Iran. The National Security Council held an emergency meeting today, issued a statement saying a decision has been made on how to respond, and that there will be retaliation at the right time and place. So they are saying that they've decided to retaliate. The highest officials in Iran have said that this was an act of war. Now, we have to see exactly what they will do and when they will do it. The next 48 hours, there's public funerals planned for General Soleimani in Baghdad, Karbala, and Najaf for tomorrow, and then his body will be flown to Tehran for Sunday. There's a three-day period of mourning declared. Iran might wait until these public funerals are over to retaliate, or they may retaliate, but the general thinking and what we're hearing from the ground is that there will be a strike. Of course, if there's a strike, if Iran retaliates and strikes any American interest, there is the very real possibility that the U.S. will strike back, and then, you know, we will find ourselves in a full-on war, regional war between U.S. and Iran. The situation is extremely serious. There is no way to overstate how significant this escalation is and how close we are to an all-out war.
Farnaz, is it believed that the militias entering the U.S. embassy in Iraq was what precipitated this, or is there any indication that there was a plan to go after General Soleimani before that event occurred?
General Soleimani has been somebody that I think the U.S. military in Washington has had an eye on. I don't know whether the plan to take him out has been, how long it's been going on. The statement from the Department of Defense was that this was ordered by President Trump because he is responsible for the killing of Americans and American allies. Well, General Soleimani's main responsibility and profile was Iran's foreign policy in the region and mobilizing and training Shia militia and forces around the region from Syria to the Palestinian territories to Iraq and Lebanon, who were allied with Iran and have been mobilized both in the fight against ISIS, but also in the fight against the U.S. and its allies, especially to keep Assad in power. He was instrumental and a strategizing force for Hezbollah in its attack on Israel. So he's somebody that the U.S. has long considered an enemy. But taking him out will have serious ramifications and consequences. To what extent is the U.S. prepared to see the consequences through if U.S. strikes? We don't know. We have to see. But I think that if you've been watching or monitoring events in the Middle East, you will know that killing somebody like Qasem Soleimani will have very serious consequences.
We're talking with New York Times reporter who covers Iran, Farnaz Fasihi, who's joining us with the very latest developments following yesterday's assassination of Revolutionary Guard General Qasem Soleimani. He was in a convoy. It was a drone strike that killed him there at Baghdad International Airport. Farnaz, there any indication that security measures were being taken to protect him from a strike like this? Or does it appear Iran never considered that the U.S. would carry out something like this?
I think that Iran is caught off guard by what happened. I think that, there were, in the view of Iran, the things had de-escalated after the embassy attack in Baghdad, where the Iraqi militia who were loyal to Iran had surrounded the U.S. embassy. They'd entered sort of the premise and up to the, they didn't enter inside the building, but they were outside. And then they were called back. And from where Iran is, they are very surprised that the U.S. decided to take him out. And, they thought that there's been this diplomatic effort going on with Japan to try to start negotiations with the U.S. And there's this parallel talks or possibility of talks and negotiations going on. And what we're hearing from sources in Iran is that this assassination really kills and puts an end to any possibility of negotiations with the U.S. So what we have to really consider, it's not clear what the ultimate end goal of Washington was. If the goal was, we see that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has said that they had intelligence that Mr. Soleimani was staging a major attack on Americans and they did this to prevent him. In terms of a big picture strategy with Iran, if the strategy of Washington is to put pressure on Iran, to exercise maximum pressure, to bring Iran to the negotiating table, assassinating Qasem Soleimani makes that possibility even less. Iran is more likely to get into a defensive position rather than a place where it will trust the U.S. or want to engage with it.
Farnaz Fasihi in the New York Times, thank you very much for being with us and providing the very latest developments in this intense standoff between the United States and Iran over the targeted killing of the Iranian general yesterday. Thank you so much. Farnaz Fasihi covers Iran for the New York Times. I'm particularly interested in hearing from Iranian-American listeners to Air Talk. If you have contact with family members in Iran, I'd be interested in hearing what sorts of conversations you might have had over the past 12 hours or so. Your thoughts on where we stand. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Now, earlier this morning, mentioned about Congress returning to Capitol Hill. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell talked about the killing of Qasem Soleimani.
For too long, this evil man operated without constraint, and countless innocents have suffered for it. Now his terrorist leadership has been ended. Now, predictably enough, in this political environment, the operation that led to Soleimani's death may prove controversial or divisive. Although I anticipate and welcome a debate about America's interest in foreign policy in the Middle East, I recommend that all senators wait to review the facts and hear from the administration before passing much public judgment on this operation and its potential consequences.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, the Democrat, followed.
The operation against Soleimani in Iraq was conducted, however, without specific authorization and any advance notification or consultation with Congress. I'm a member of the Gang of Eight, which is typically briefed in advance of operations of this level of significance. We were not. The lack of advance consultation and transparency with Congress was put in the Constitution, or the need for advance consultation and transparency with Congress was put in the Constitution for a reason. Because the lack of advance consultation and transparency with Congress can lead to hasty and ill-considered decisions. When the security of the nation is at stake, decisions must not be made in a vacuum.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has said that the reason this was done was to head off the loss of American lives from a terrorist attack, some sort of an attack carried out under the authority of the Iranian government and with the leadership of Soleimani behind it. Again, I welcome your calls. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Joining me, resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, where he specializes in Middle Eastern political and military affairs, served twice on the National Security Council, first as director for Near East and South Asian Affairs, then as director for Persian Gulf Affairs, Kenneth Pollack. Sir, good to have you with us again on Air Talk. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
So your thoughts, first of all, about whether it does seem likely that this was done as a peremptory strike to stop an attack against American interests from occurring.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, because we have to be careful about what the administration is saying. They're not actually saying that there was a known terrorist operation that Soleimani was planning, that they were about to launch, and that's why they did this. What they're saying, they're being a little bit vague about this, but I've spoken to them and listened to what they're saying. What they're saying very clearly is that Soleimani has been responsible for a long-running campaign of attacks on Americans in Syria, in Iraq, elsewhere in the Middle East, and they knew that he was planning to continue those attacks. All right. So in other words, he is orchestrating a general campaign of terrorist operations against the United States, a clear, true statement. But they're not saying that there was some imminent 9/11 or, Lebanese Marine barracks kind of attack in the offing, and they killed Soleimani to prevent it.
It's interesting because the language that was used in the Defense Department statement issued yesterday reads, General Soleimani was actively developing plans to attack American diplomats and service members in Iraq and throughout the region. And you're right, it doesn't say imminently attack, but it would seem that it's trying to give that impression.
Correct. It's giving that impression. But they're specifically saying there was not a known attack that he was going to launch that this was designed to prevent. It's part of a general campaign. And again, he is a designated terrorist. This is a man with enormous, tremendous amounts of American blood on his hands. I'm not trying to suggest that this was not a legitimate target for the United States. I'm simply trying to make clear that the administration is not claiming that there was an imminent known attack on Americans. What they're saying is they knew that he was continuing to orchestrate this terror campaign against Americans. I think that what really drove this, to get kind of at the other piece of your question, was the intelligence. My strong sense from everything that I've seen, all the conversations that I've had, is that the U.S. got actionable intelligence on Soleimani. Right. This is a very difficult target. You've got to know where he is, when he is there. You've got to have the weapon, the drone available, ready to do it. He needs to be in a place where you know if you fire the missile, you will kill him. And you need to know that you're not going to kill a whole bunch of other people doing so. I think what happened was that the U.S. got that actionable intelligence at some point in the last day or two. I don't know how it happened, but you know, whether it was a human source or technical source, but somehow we got information that said Soleimani is going to be at the Baghdad airport at this hour. It's the middle of the night. There aren't going to be pretty much any other planes there. He's going to be picked up on the tarmac. He is going to be driven in this small convoy by this VIP access road, right? He will be in a place where we know it's him, it can only be him, and there will not be anyone else there. And I think that's what drove the operation. It was a target of opportunity. And my sense is that President Trump looked at that and said, it's too good a target, too good an opportunity to pass up. Let's go ahead and do it.
So then the question is, does it do more good than harm, or the opposite? We'll continue our conversation with the American Enterprise Institute's resident scholar Kenneth Pollack. We'll also talk with the Brookings Institution's fellow Mara Carlin, get her thoughts as well. We have additional guests joining us throughout the course of this hour. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC Film Week. Coming up at 11 o'clock, in addition to reviews of this week's new films, we'll hear what our critics thought were the best movies of this just concluded decade. Back with more on Air Talk in just 1 minute. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to be back with you. And I want to thank you if you contributed during KPCC's end-of-year member drive. Thank you for that. And if you've given any other time over the course of the year, we equally thank you for your generosity in helping us bring you in-depth coverage of all the day's news. And then for fun, Film Week coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Right now, we're talking about the aftermath of yesterday's assassination of the Iranian general responsible for organizing militias in Syria and in Iraq. That's Qasem Soleimani. With us is Ken Pollack from the American Enterprise Institute. And also with us is Mara Carlin, who is with the Brookings Institution. Mara, thank you very much for being with us. Do you think that this potentially does more harm than good for U.S. interests?
Thank you so much for having me. This is a monumental event. It's really impossible to overstate it. And while Qasem Soleimani was a horrific human being with the blood of hundreds of Americans on his hands, the decision to actually take him out, a decision that has been considered by previous presidents, was not taken because the implications and the potential reprisals are just so massive. So I sure hope we are ready for what is possible.
And what do you think are the most likely scenarios for Iran to respond?
Right now, I suspect there's all sorts of difficult conversations happening inside Iran and also with Hezbollah's leadership, because Iran also has a network of clients that it may be using to try to consider what options it wants to take against American interests. This could be against American citizens or American military personnel or bases in the Middle East. This could be kinetic. It could also be using cyber capabilities. There's a wide range of options inside their toolkit, but it is impossible to imagine that they will not respond in some sort of way given how public the nature of this strike was, the administration has been bragging about it, and also given who they hit. This is the most, easily among the most influential defense figures in the Middle East for the last few decades.
We've invited Iranian-American listeners to Air Talk in Southern California to share their thoughts. We had Reza call in from West L.A. who said Soleimani is a revered figure in Iran because of his fight against ISIS and is very, very high profile. This is going to lead to tremendous negative reaction out of Iran. Mike in downtown Los Angeles says, I'm Iranian and Soleimani is considered to be a terrorist among California Iranians. He just killed hundreds of people 2 weeks ago. I think the U.S. move is a good one. Mike says, I think the president did the right thing. So there we have two Iranian Americans with opposite views. Reza thinking this was a serious mistake because of the profile the general had in Iran. And as we're just hearing from Mara Carlin, how Iran is going to have to respond because of the degree of the loss that it suffered. Ken Pollack of AEI, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I generally do. I think the Iranians have already issued a statement saying that they will respond, but they will respond at a time and place of their own choosing. And I think that's very important because going into this, coming out, you know, when we first heard the news, big question was, do the Iranians respond immediately out of anger? Or do they wait and respond again at a time and place of their own choosing? They may still respond out of anger. And I certainly think that there are going to be Iraqi allies of Iran who might decide to take matters into their own hands, regardless of what Tehran wants to do. But what we've heard from the Iranians is, you know, they are not idiots. They have tremendous respect for American military capabilities. They also recognize that they have advantages over the United States in certain areas, in particular in unconventional warfare, insurgency, terrorism. Typically, when they've really wanted to take us on, that's where they've gone looking to do so. They've also developed a remarkable cyber capability in recent years. So what we may get from the Iranians is less an immediate spasmodic attack, launching missiles at U.S. bases in Iraq or something like that, although that is absolutely possible. But what the regime seems to be hinting at is that they're going to step back from this and they're going to look for a time and a place and an opportunity to hit the United States in a way that will hurt us, that will play to their advantages and to our disadvantages.
And Mara Carlin, as we saw several months ago, it's believed Iranian interests were responsible for the targeted attacks on Saudi oil facilities. So they have the ability there to do significant disruption to the oil economy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The oil economy, Lebanon, Syria, the Gulf, there's no shortage of options, unfortunately. It's also worth remembering that over the last few weeks, Iran's government has faced the most substantial protests, the most meaningful uprisings that it's faced in 40 years. And now this is actually a huge distraction for those who have been protesting their government, because you'll invariably see a lot of a need to kind of rally around the government.
We're talking with Mara Carlin of the Brookings Institution, Ken Pollack of the American Enterprise Institute. Ken, I know you need to go, but thank you very much for spending this half hour with us. We appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for having me on.
Thank you. We have additional guests who will be joining us throughout the course of this hour, one of whom is Colin P. Clark, Senior Research Fellow at the Soufan Center Global Security Think Tank based in New York City, also Assistant Professor for Politics and Strategy at Carnegie Mellon University. Professor Clark, it's good to have you with us. Your thoughts on the likely Iranian reaction to the assassination?
Yeah, well, we know there will be a reaction. In fact, there will be numerous reactions. And I think I'll echo the sentiments of others, like my friend and colleague, Aryan Tabatabai, who came out and said very early on today, and I think Ken Pollack just referenced it as well. It will be at a time and place of Iran's choosing, and it won't be something that we're able to dictate. And it may very well be through Iraqi Shia militia. It may be through Lebanese Hezbollah. Or it may be through any number of other proxy forces that Iran maintains in and around the region. And the strikes may not be limited to the Middle East itself. We've seen Hezbollah demonstrate a capability to strike well outside of the region, including in Latin America and Europe. And so I think many folks, even those that you know, think killing Soleimani was a good thing, are quite concerned about retaliation.
Mara Carlin, cyber attacks were mentioned. What about potential attacks on U.S. or ally soil? Is that a real concern?
Look, this is such a game changer that I would want to keep a very long list of what's possible. I would be a bit surprised if they chose to attack U.S. or allied soil. I think it is easier to either use cyber capabilities or to do something in the Middle East, because while the Iranians must retaliate and must do so substantially, they're also going to be a little bit careful in hitting the U.S. on its soil. I mean, frankly, we've seen what the implications have been the two times that that's happened in American history.
Also, we have a report that 3,500 more soldiers are being deployed to the Middle East as a response to this, soldiers from the 82nd Airborne Division. Mara Carlin, your thoughts on how those soldiers would most likely be deployed?
Absolutely. You know, it's a great point also because there are strategic implications to attacking Soleimani, which is not least the Secretary of Defense has been trying very hard to focus on regions other than the Middle East. He's been trying to focus on the threat posed by China and Russia. And now, frankly, this event means there's going to need to be an increased focus on the Middle East, like there has been, frankly, with profound opportunity costs for the last two decades. So those troops will be deployed probably across the region. Probably they'll start off in a place like Kuwait, if I had to guess. They're going to have to figure out what's going to happen with security at the embassies around the region. Are we going to need to do a non-combatant evacuation of U.S. citizens around the region? I won't be surprised if that happens in places like Iraq, in Lebanon, offhand. They're going to have to look at increased security at the military bases. So the Pentagon's to-do list across the Middle East just got a heck of a lot longer.
And on the State Department side, there have been alerts issued for a number of U.S. embassies, including Pakistan and Bahrain. Colin Clark, with the death of Soleimani, what does that mean for the leadership and organization of these militias that operate under Iranian sponsorship? Are they going to continue to carry out the same kinds of activities they have with the general leading them?
Well, I think that's going to be the first tell, right, is how the theater of Iraq and how Iran responds by, with, and through these militias in and around Iraq. My main concern, as someone that watches this very closely, is that ultimately, if the militias pressure Iraq's political establishment to the point where U.S. forces are ejected from the country, that is very detrimental for the counter-ISIS fight, obviously. And that breathes new life into the Islamic State, which is something that I've long been concerned about. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say I saw this coming. I certainly did not. I mean, I think I was as surprised as most everyone else when I first started hearing the rumors of Soleimani's death last night. And it really makes me question, again, whether this was a well-thought-out strike, if the administration has thought through the second and third-order effects, or if this was an emotional reaction to the tragic death last week of a U.S. contractor. And so more questions than answers at this point on my end.
Well, and I also wonder what role, if any, the militia going into the U.S. embassy had to do with this, because that's a highly symbolic breach. I know that it didn't, lead to any loss of life or wouldn't be categorized as a major event compared to other attacks on embassies. Nonetheless, it is symbolic. Do you think, Professor Clark, that could have been a factor here?
Well, if you look at the reaction, it was actually quite controlled, right? Because nobody went beyond a certain area. No one was killed. And so I think it shows actually quite robust command and control on the Iranian side. And so if that was what ultimately, prompted this strike, I would be surprised. I think it was more the fact that, the Trump administration is putting Iran on notice that it will not be tolerated for Americans to be targeted anywhere in the region. Again, I didn't think that killing, Soleimani would be the proportionate response. But again, you know, it all depends on what your ultimate goal is. And so this was definitely something that caught most Iran watchers off guard. And I think very few people know what's going to happen next. You're seeing a lot of hot takes, a lot of, speculation. And as the dust settles over these coming days and weeks, we will have to watch closely. And again, I would look first of all in Iraq and then in the broader region in places like Syria and Lebanon for initial or follow-on reactions.
And Mara Karlin of the Brookings Institution, even if President Trump, this was an emotional reaction on his part to say he wanted to have Soleimani killed, they had to have the intelligence where he's going to be, had to have the drone able to attack him at that spot. And one would think as well that if there were serious pushback from the Pentagon, he would have heard about that. What's your sense of the kind of cautionary framework that military officials would have given the president over taking this action?
The senior military leadership, particularly those who have spent a lot of time in Iraq over the last two decades, have no love lost for Qasem Soleimani. That said, they understand as well as, if not more so than anyone, the profound implications of this strike. I'm sure they did what they could to help the president understand those second and third order effects, and probably to see that this is not a terribly proportional response to the events over the last few days, much of which can best be described as theater. But we've seen a lot of examples throughout this administration where the Pentagon hasn't really been heard by this administration. So if you look at the president's desire to pull the troops out of Syria, that back and forth we've heard about from the last year and a half, the Pentagon has been pretty clear that it doesn't make sense to cease the presence in Syria, and yet President Trump has tried to do so time and time again. So I suspect they would have warned him, and when he made the choice, they immediately started putting a lot of plans into action to try to deal with the fallout and the consequences, which will be pretty substantial and could last for a long time.
We're talking with Mara Karlin of the Brookings Institution, also with us Colin Clark of the Soufan Center, the global security think tank in New York. I welcome your calls with your questions for our expert guests as we talk about the day after the targeted killing of the top military official in Iran, General Qasem Soleimani. 866-893-KPECC. Back in 2 minutes. Film Week is coming up in about 20 minutes here on KPECC. Our critics will tell us about the latest version of The Grudge. It began as an acclaimed Japanese horror film, and then a series of American versions followed. This brand new version of The Grudge is written and directed by Nicholas Pesch and stars Damian Bashir. We'll hear about that movie and others coming up on Film Week at 11 o'clock right now. We're talking about yesterday's targeted killing of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, the man who organized militias to attack U.S. and allied interests in places like Iraq and Syria, who was listed as the head of a terrorist organization by the U.S. government. But our listener, Norma, asked the question, is it legitimate to kill a general outside of a declared war? Colin Clark, your response to our listener question.
Yeah, so I'm still trying to unearth what the chain of authorities were used to justify this. We know for a long time administrations have used the authorization for the use of military force initially put in place to combat al-Qaeda for all sorts of things beyond the actual war against al-Qaeda. And so we know that in April, the IRGC Quds Force, right, the Islamic Revolutionary Guards, Quds Force was designated as a foreign terrorist organization. And so I think that set in motion some of the events that we saw unfold over the last day or two. At the time, I wrote a piece in Foreign Policy with Arian Talbot-Tabai where we argued that this was actually a move that was counterproductive in the long run, because if the goal of the administration was to de-escalate with Iran, it was going to have the opposite effect. And I think we've seen that play out almost exactly kind of how we predicted.
Matt in Highland Park says this issue is probably going to fall along party lines, mainly because the president didn't inform the Gang of Eight with the impeachment process going forward. I think this situation is meant to be a distraction from impeachment. Mara Carlin, your thoughts on the president not consulting with members, leaders of Congress before ordering this?
It is really problematic. I mean, look, Qasem Soleimani has been in the sights of many senior U.S. national security officials for a very, very long time. If there was some real decision and debate about targeting him, it would absolutely have been incumbent on the administration to include key leaders from Congress. Unfortunately, we are at this moment where even key national security issues are being seen as politicized. And I think this, you know, I think unfortunately the list is spot on, and this is going to be interpreted as such. And look, there's been a lot happening with impeachment, particularly in recent days. One does have to wonder why the decision to take this strike now.
We have a listener, Josue, who tweets at AirTalk, if one is to stand up to our enemies who prey on the innocent, one has to take drastic measures to see that happen. I'm glad we finally took him out. That's Josue tweeting at AirTalk. You can share your comments on our AirTalk page, kpcc.org. You can tweet at AirTalk. You can also post on the AirTalk Facebook page or call us at 866-893-KPECC. In addition to Mara Carlin and Colin Clark, Aaron David Miller now joins us from the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, where he's senior fellow at that D.C.-based think tank. He's former State Department Middle East analyst and negotiator who served in both Republican and Democratic administrations. Aaron David Miller, good to have you with us again. Just following along with this sort of line of thought, do you think the president was wrong to not talk with leaders of Congress about this first?
You know, in a if this were another, if this were a galaxy far, far away, and not planet Earth in which the Trump administration is operating, I think there would have been an effort. Although I'm not sure that President Obama consulted with Congress before the decision on Bin Laden, but that may have been that was a ticking bomb issue, and there was a real operational security problem there in expanding the loop. But I think after 3 years, if any Democrats or Republicans are disappointed that the president didn't consult with them, then they're really not tethered to reality. It's unfortunate that he didn't. This is a decision, probably the most significant assassination in the Middle East in decades, goes well beyond the implications of killing Osama bin Laden or Bakr al-Baghdadi or Zarqawi in 2006. If the foreign policy process were working the way it should work, this would be tethered to a systematic examination of whether or not it was a wise decision, what the implications would have been. And yeah, there would have been an effort to consult with Congress. But that's not,
yes,
sadly, era in which we're now living.
We were talking with Ken Bollock of AEI earlier, and he was saying, you know, that this may have been just the opportune time because they had specific intelligence. He was going to be where he was in that convoy. He was going to be vulnerable to the drone strike. And so, this was carried out rather quickly because of that intelligence. Aaron David Miller, is that a possibility that the president might not have had time to consult?
It is, Lear, but that really doesn't deal with the central question, which is, there may have been a compelling moral argument to kill Qasem Soleimani. I mean, he's responsible for the deaths of well over 600 Americans, tens of thousands of Syrians for supporting, and he was a key architect in supporting Bashar Assad's murderous campaign against his own people. But the fact that we could kill him raises the question of whether we should have killed him. And that issue, I think, and the Israelis passed this opportunity to buy at least once. The Bush administration took a pass on it, as did the Obama administration. That's the real question. And before I do anything these days in life, I ask myself the question, what are the consequences? And that's the real question. Are Americans safer today than they were 24 hours ago? I don't think so. Will this deter Iran in the sense that there won't be any reaction? I don't think so. Is this going to make American political strategy in Iraq or even our the security of our 5,200 forces there more secure? I don't think so. And finally, exactly what is the point? We have in this administration regime changers with respect to Iran. We have sanctions mongers with respect to Iran. We have chicken hawks, people who talk tough but don't really want to act. And we have real hawks. What we don't have in this administration, it seems to me, is people who are arguing for a coherent, rational, sustainable, realistic policy toward Iran. And I don't think, frankly, that what's transpired over the last 24 hours shows evidence of one.
We're talking with Aaron David Miller, Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, Colin Clark, Carnegie Mellon University, and the Soufan Center in New York, and Maura Carlin joining us from the Brookings Institution. You have questions for our expert guests. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Bashar in Irvine says, I'm Iranian-American, retired U.S. Marine. I'm wondering what the legal basis is for this targeted killing. Is there an international law that said the U.S. can assassinate leaders? We'll continue our conversation in 1 minute on Air Talk. Coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon, you'll be able to get an international perspective on the events of the past 24 hours. It's BBC NewsHour live at 1 o'clock this afternoon right here on 89.3 KPCC. And of course, prominently featured in the BBC's coverage is the assassination of the top general of Iran, who was killed in a drone strike yesterday by U.S. forces at Baghdad International Airport. We have a listener, Bashar, who's a retired U.S. Marine, Iranian-American, wondering what the legal basis is for carrying out an assassination against a general of a foreign country. Aaron David Miller, Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, is this legally sanctioned?
You know, the UN rapporteur has been investigating Khashoggi's murder at the hands of the Saudi government, I think tweeted out or announced this morning that this was a violation of international law. But again, you know, the president could invoke Article 2 of the Constitution. He could find a way, since the AUMF, which has been responsible for covering just about every military action that the United States has taken in the wake of 9/11, when it really doesn't, might be cited as well. I think we're so far beyond that, not just in terms of this administration, but its predecessor, in terms of the president's authority by virtue of the fact, citing American national security interests, that the last thing on anybody's mind, and I don't want to trivialize the importance of international law or abiding by it. I don't think, you know, none of these arguments are going to satisfy those individuals who believe that we needed to cite some sort of legal authority. I don't think this concerns the administration, I'm not sure it's going to be a major focus of the debate going forward. Congress should have long ago agreed on a different kind of structure, but in many respects, they've relinquished their role. You've got, you know, the president is the Energizer Bunny of the American political system. Congress goes in and out of session, so does the Supreme Court. This is a 24/7 operation for the president, and they act. act.
Behzad in South Los Angeles says, a friend in Iran told me the government of Iran is taking 3 days mourning Soleimani's killing, which I think is unfair, Behzad says, compared to the lackluster response the government gave to the killing of hundreds of people recently. I don't believe the government of Iran is for the people. That's Behzad in South Los Angeles. We've been asking specifically to hear from Iranian American listeners to Air Talk at 866-893-KPCC. Let's talk with Harold in West Los Angeles. Harold, you're on Air Talk. Harold, you there? Nope. Okay. We'll see if we can get him back on the line. Let me go back to Mara Carlin of the Brookings Institution. Aaron David Miller is saying, you look, you know, it's U.S. interests safer today than they were yesterday. It would not appear to be the case. Do you think that there is any security advantage to the United States following yesterday's assassination?
You know, Qasem Soleimani was a horrific man who was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of American troops, to put it lightly. So the fact that he's not on this earth, you know, no one's shedding any tears for him, at least among Americans who think about these issues. That said, are we better off is a really big question, right? How are the Iranians going to retaliate? What steps are they going to take now that we've killed someone who is literally one of the top five most important, most influential Iranian national security officials? There is not an American equivalent to Qasem Soleimani. His significance can in no way be overstated. And now that we've publicly done this, there's going to be profound repercussions. I should also note, one of the listeners had asked about the legal authority.
Yes.
You know, that there's an irony here, which is that the U.S. military has been operating in Iraq at the invitation of the Iraqi government. It is very hard to imagine that the Iraqi government would have in any way been supportive of this killing. So we no doubt violated that relationship in a pretty fundamental way. The U.S. and Iran have been in a push-pull fight over Iraq for a long time. For the U.S., what happens in Iraq is important. For Iran, it is existential. And the fact that this killing happened there, it's really hard to imagine how it does not truly detonate the U.S.-Iraq relationship.
And Colin Clark of the Soufan Center in New York, what do you think is the likely Iraqi response to this? I understand their parliament's going to be getting together soon. They'll be taking this up. What's their likely response?
There's going to be a lot of pressure on the Iraqis to expel American forces from the country. And again, if that does happen, you're talking about implications well beyond Iran itself and implications for the counter ISIS fight. I would just echo what Mara said, which is what I think I heard was this could be perceived as a tactical victory, but likely a strategic failure in the long run, particularly if there's no actual strategy that undergirds this. If this was just a one-off, the equivalent of a sugar high, and there's no broader strategy put in place of what to do next. If you listen to the administration, the whole point of maximum pressure was to get the Iranians to come back to the table to do some sort of better deal. I don't see any possibility for any kind of deal now that this has happened. This is now totally scuttled any chance, however remote, of getting the Iranians to come back to the table to renegotiate a nuclear deal, which I think was far-fetched from the beginning. But this is the nail in the coffin on that.
Aaron David Miller, is there a potential benefit in that it makes it less likely Iran carries out through militias or other proxies attacks against U.S. interests? Or you think that's unlikely to slow down?
Well, here's the thing, and here's why I think it's important to think through the consequences of this. If the Iranians, the notion, and I think Mara Collins is right. I think you cannot, overestimate how critically important Soleimani was, how close he was to the supreme leader, and how integral he was to the whole Iranian revolutionary ethic that they need to to expand their influence beyond their borders. So if the Iranians retaliate by killing, and this is where I run off the highway, and I'm not sure the administration has thought this through, or maybe they have. If they respond by killing American diplomats, or go back to laying EPDs or IEDs in Iraq, and you have a situation in which daily or weekly you're seeing American servicemen and women killed in Iraq, or they blow up an embassy, then the question then remains for the administration, what is the response to that? Now, the Iranians are going to think that through, because in my judgment, if the Iranian response is that severe and that harsh, that they orchestrate and kill American diplomats, American tourists, they attack a target outside of the region, and their fingerprints are on this. Because remember, the Pentagon just claimed responsibility for killing arguably the second most powerful man in Iran. The shadow war is gone. Plausible deniability is now gone.
So, and you were going to say, we're just short on time, Aaron, but you were going to say if Iran is willing to go to that extent, if those kinds of killings you're talking about, that means?
The administration, in my judgment, is going to respond with conventional air, missile, and cyber strikes against Iran. And they will be devastating. Now, that to me is not what the Ayatollah Khamenei wants, nor is it something he can afford. And that's the real question about.
All right. I want to thank you all for being with us. Aaron David Miller, Mara Carlin, Colin P. Clark with us on Air Talk. Coming up next, it's Film Week on 89.3 KPCC.